Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Okay.
All right, guys, welcome back to a super COVID cutie special edition of Violating Community
Guidelines.
Our one and only, very special own co-host, Sarah, has COVID, so they're not with us right now.
I'm literally going insane in this hotel room. We talked about this previously, but I'm so horny and just sad. I'm in a bad place. manual masturbation. I'm sorry. You know, when you use your hand, I feel like I'm in the medieval times. Like, I'm sorry. I wanted to put like lipstick on. Never mind. I just can't. All right. So I'll we're going to be talking about couch. Faceless content creators today. Yeah, I just, oh my God.
It's a level of horny that I think few people have achieved. Very few people.
Yeah, it's medical. I'm going to go to the ER again. Medical. Just ask someone to touch me. Can someone touch me in some PPR, please?
I've got some aches down there. If you could just rub a little bit.
Please. I don't want to sexually harass hospital staff. Not again.
No, I can't go back. Not again. All right.
I can't go back. But
they won't let me.
Yeah, sorry. We're going to.
All right. So, like Sarah said, the topic for today is faceless content creators or faceless content creation. And this is just basically when there's an internet personality that we don't know their identity. They keep it concealed. They're very private. And that's kind of the fun of it, is you don't have this famous, well-known person. It's kind of a mystery. And we do want to do a little disclaimer about VTubers. Sarah, if you want to take it away.
Yes, VTubers is a virtual YouTuber. It's an online entertainer who uses a virtual avatar generated using computer graphics. Real-time motion capture software or technology are often, but not always, used to capture movement. Although similar, VTubers act as a subcategory of faceless content. And then we're going to talk about faceless content creation in a much broader way, but VTubers will be very much like a separate episode.
Yeah.
Yes.
And we don't want to confuse VTubers, faceless content creators, and AI influencers, although they're all very similar in the same vein of like anonymous internet persona. VTuber is a very specific thing that we will touch on at a later episode. So with all that being said, I want to take it back to its most primal definitions when it comes to a parasocial relationship, which we also are going to do another episode on later in the whatever.
Yes.
Because that's something very interesting that both Sarah and I experience while at the same time ours are very different. So it'll be very, very interesting. Are we okay? Can we talk? Can I talk?
No, you caught my stutter, and now our audience is going to catch a stutter. Yeah. Oh, dude, one time I used to work at this place. We had like an intern, And I sat like next to him to work, and he's like, whoa, don't get too close. And I was like, why? And he's like, because I have acne. And I was like, what does that mean? He thought acne was contagious. And I was like, unless I put my face upon your face, mm-hmm. I probably, like, you know. So yeah, the stutter is contagious.
Right.
From the way podcast. That
dyslexia yes. is as well.
Yeah, of course.
All right. So let's go back to the 1950s. We all remember it very well. I know I do. This is kind of the introduction of mass communication and parasocial interaction. So think about in the 50s, this is like post-war time. It's after the expansion of television. And research done from the 1950s found that a striking characteristic found in new mass media, which is radio, television, movies, things like that, is that they give the illusion of face-to-face relationships with the performer. The interaction characteristically is one-sided, controlled by the performer, and susceptible to mutual development. The performer can claim and achieve an intimacy with what are literally crowds of strangers, which Sarah and I can vouch for. Just don't know him from Adam. But it's an intimacy that's extremely influential and satisfying for the great numbers who willingly receive it and share in it. So there's benefits for both parties, us being the creators and mm-hmm. the followers who receive the content and enjoy it. So from this era, we get the term parasocial. And this is the form of relationship that is modernly similar to that of YouTube content creators or TikTokers or whatever. If you attach your identity to your fave, you know, I mean, you guys get it.
It's like a one-sided relationship. Mm-hmm.
And if you want to take away exactly. how kind of examples of what that parasocial relationship looks like through YouTube specifically.
So the on YouTube, it gives the illusion that like we're kind of friends. And while we do like admire, like we'll like, you know, our followers, we're not actually your friends. Mm. And so it's like when people like if I went on my channel and I said, I love you guys, I'm your friend, like we're besties. And it's not really like a good thing to do a lot because people actually really do take it literally. But you know, YouTubers will say stuff like, I'm just like you, I'm here for you guys, I love you guys. Realistically, a YouTuber is not actually there for you. If you break down on the side of the highway, we will not show up. And if we do, it's purely coincidental.
Trust me, it wasn't on purpose.
But yes. We are broken down as well.
Yeah.
So
I think it's an interesting thing when it comes to, you know, this concept of like, I'm here for you guys. And it makes me think of like, Ariana Grande has that song that's like, just call me, like I'll be there for you. Justin Bieber has a song like that. A lot of celebrity musicians do. And it's like, what does that mean? I mean, I know like in a broad, you know, metaphorical way, it's like my music is there for you whenever you need it. But it's like Ariana Grande is not on speed dial when I'm having a fucking mental episode.
She's not.
Like imagine she's if she was.
Working. Dude, imagine if it was Ariana Grande working Suicide Hotline.
Yeah.
Are you feeling sad? Yeah.
Just keep holding on. Yeah.
But this parasocial relationship creates a lot of responsibility for the actual creator, though also creates a responsibility to the audience to respect the creator's boundaries. There are times when people really cross the line. Like I know Brittany has definitely experienced this when I really hate when people are depressed or sad, but sometimes I'll have people like reach out to me and be like, dude, I'm so sad. I don't know what to do with my life. You're the only person I can turn to.
Yeah. And it's like maybe that's not the truth.
Yeah, and that kind of puts like a lot of pressure on us. It obviously sucks that you're in a horrible place, but I'm not like a licensed therapist, and I do appreciate that you find comfort in me. But if I were to respond, it would just be like any other person. You think I can offer any sort of therapeutic advice? I'm mentally ill.
Right.
I'm in the same boat.
And I think that's a crazy thing, and a lot of this is going to be really like, I guess, philosophical or kind of abstract, but it's this weird thing too of like, they see in your case, you know, like you struggling with something in specific or me struggling with something specific that they can relate to a certain degree. And reaching out and saying, like, you are the only person that gets it, you know, that can help, etc. It's just because we've been public with it. You know what I mean? Like, the average person is not on Instagram posting about how runny their shits are, how they coughed up a green luge. It's just like the level of transparency that you and I have because it's our job, and being relatable is a key characteristic to our personalities, to relate it back to the topic. You know, like that we are personified, relatable, real people that people treat like characters sometimes, versus these faceless creators don't get that at all.
Yeah. They're kind of like voice actors, where like their voice actors are actors, but like if you like, you probably would have to look up who voices SpongeBob and then like really look for him on the street, like if you wanted to ever like find him.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about like the fame and the privacy payoff of being a faceless content creator. I kind of wish I was faceless, but I don't think it would work. I'm not smart enough to be a VTuber. And I don't know. I feel like if I was perceived as a man online, I would just excel. Life would be vastly better.
Me too.
Yeah. Or if I was just a genderless blob, like when I talked about working on brands, everyone always assumed I was a man and they respected this corporation more than they've ever respected me. Right. God, I miss it.
God, every just single general. Day, take me back. Oh my God.
But on my Jim and Stan account, I get a lot of, people don't really talk down to me.
Yeah.
I do talk to a lot of people who are out of their mind, but we don't disrespect each other based on sex. And it's really refreshing.
That's nice. You get judged rather on other characteristics of your personality and your being, not just your gender.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
So as an example of loss of privacy, many fans, as we know, show up to creators' houses with the argument that they made that creator famous and they owe them something for that, which is fucked. I mean, like, just put it simply. But at the same time, you know, what's the flip side of that coin? Is there validity to that argument? Like, we wouldn't be successful without an audience that would die for you. You know?
That is true, but I don't think anyone should ever show up to anyone's house, especially women or people who are like a vulnerable part of the population. I know I saw like a couple times on TikTok, people showed up to like James Charles' house, and I know that he may be a rat bastard in some people's minds, but he still doesn't deserve that, because at the end of the day, he's just a twink. And if someone wanted to be violent or homophobic, they could just simply bring out a baseball bat.
Yeah. I mean, it's very frightening.
That would not end well.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now, all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
So Jenna and Julian experienced this as well. I'm not sure how often. I know that people did show up to like their front doorstep and they thought it was a completely normal thing to do. Can you, but I can't even put my mind like in the shoes of someone who would do that. Because I have definitely obsessed over people, but at no point would I show up to their house.
And you know what it is? Like, what's even more fucked is that it's parents driving the kids to these creators' houses. Can my daughter get a picture? Can my son get a picture? You are on my front doorstep. Go away.
Yeah. It is deranged to think that, I mean, even if I was like going through a horrible breakup, I mean, I might show up to my ex's house, but whatever. But like, it would have to be. Really quick. If I was going to show up at anyone's house unannounced, we would have to be months within a romantic relationship.
Right.
And that is the only thing, or we are best friends. But I guess maybe in these people's minds, since it is a parasocial relationship, they assume that we are best friends.
Right. It's like when you eliminate that aura of it being threatening in any sense, then it's fine, I guess. You know, yeah, like surprising your romantic partner or your best friend. When it's like a 13-year-old being driven by their deranged mother to your home for the sole intent of getting a picture, saying hi, and hanging out, go to prison. You belong in jail. That is insane.
Like, can your deranged mother drive us to Sarah and Brittany's house? Because, but my deranged mother would drive us home. You know, it's like we're like a trip to like the movies,
the mall, the Sarah and Brittany mall.
Plushies and hang out. Yeah.
We have a no loitering sign outside of our door because too many teenagers are loitering.
We get like a hose. Just come down.
Oh, that's Brittany. She's got her pellet gun again. She's hitting the kids out of the front window.
And then we search our names on Twitter. Sarah and Brittany shot me with a BB gun and sprayed me with a hose.
Not clickbait.
Why would they do that? When a creator has a channel or content based on relatability and their own personality, there's an inherent belief from fans that feel an entitlement or ownership over the creator's own person. Although there is a conversation to be had in regard to how much influence fans have over a direct... Yeah. I would say that fans have as much power as we do as a collective whole. You know what I mean? Because I always... People always tell like content creators they have like obligations or like it's unethical for like me to like quote retweet someone because then I stick my audience
right
on that person. But I also think that like fans can also do that to content creators as well.
Absolutely.
When you like fans can like dogpile in a comment, in a comment section, and then it becomes like it equals like the power that we have because like now we have If I misspeak on something, I'm probably going to have like 2,000 people in my comment section saying the same thing over and over again. And at a certain point, that would be like overwhelming for anyone. Mm-hmm. And I do have ADHD and I'm getting tested for autism because I have had sensory issues. And that can actually like shut me down. Mm-hmm. The audience does have like the same amount of power as we do.
Yeah.
I think that audiences also have a... like different obligations, and I think that for the most part the burden is put on there when comment sections and audiences can easily be derailing as well. If I'm being held accountable like and I can't dogpile on someone even if they may deserve it, I think that we also should start holding fans accountable, because sure, one individual fan does not have the same amount of power as I do. But if you go through like a comment section, you can see like literally hundreds to thousands of people will comment the same thing or like have a negative reaction to something. And then that can easily overwhelm the content creator as well. So I think that there's just two parts to it. Yes.
There definitely is. And I feel like that's becoming more of a conversation, especially, I mean, specifically, mm-hmm. I'm talking about Twitter and TikTok. Those are the places where it happens the most. For creators, it's easy for everyone to have an opinion, everyone to share, you know, have their part in the story of bringing you down or you bringing someone else down for being a shithead. I mean, it's all, those are the main two platforms. But we say all this and we bring all this up and our personal experiences to segue into, is the rise of faceless content creators related to the negative factors of that parasocial relationship? Faceless content creators can take off that mask of their persona and blend into the crowd, which is a power that we don't have. So maintaining their privacy while reaping the benefits of fame is kind of the market that these faceless creators have cornered. And I wanted to bring up, which we talked about this with furries and things like that, is it's escapism. Corpse Husband has cornered the market. I mean, you know, people lust after him. He gets to take that mask off. The voice is really all we know, like you said, voice actors. And that's really all it is. It's another form of online escapism.
Yeah, because, I mean, you can imagine whatever face Corpse has. He just has a really sexy voice. So it's kind of, I want to know what people, like, think he looks like on an individual basis. Because it's kind of like when you read fan fiction and they describe, like, how the character, like, looks, or just, like, reading a book. And then you, like, come up with how the character, like, looks in your head. And then you watch the movie, you're like, that's not what I was thinking. What if Corpse is just, like a sexy voice and he just looks like, Pete Davidson, like
Michael Cera.
It's just Michael Cera with a voice filter on. It's Corpse Husband.
I literally think that's how it is. Like they, and you know what? He never ever has to reveal his face.
No, he doesn't.
And people,
I don't mean to be. Yeah, exactly. What if he's? I'm not going to say anything. But what if he's unattractive? You know,
it doesn't matter. Because, know, like you said, it's the beauty of anonymity is he never has to reveal it, and people are still attracted to him and like him for the content that he creates and he produces. Because he makes music, he's a gamer.
Yeah.
I mean, like, that's lovable stuff in and of itself. You never even have to look at the person, you know? So I think that I just have to throw this in there because it's my current obsession. I love Orville Peck. He's all I think about. And I feel like this kind of falls under that is Orville Peck. Yeah, that's his name. Yes, he shared he's a gay country singer for those who don't know. And he wears a mask that all of his masks have fringe sewn into them to cover up his mouth. No one has ever seen like the bridge of his nose. You can see his eyes and his mouth and like his jaw, but it's like that's his drag essentially. And I think that is such an interesting concept, you know, of like you put on this mask or this persona to really be your true self. So crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I love Orville.
It must be so freeing. He's like the Batman of country music.
The gay Batman of country music.
Yeah, he's like the Phantom of the Opera. Just like, I feel like when you don't have the burden of your face, it must be so, so freeing.
Dude, that's such a good way to put it.
Yeah, like you don't have to reveal your true identity. And like, I feel like it also cuts like insults in half.
Yeah.
Like with Corpse Husband, like if you think about anything that someone could say to like insult me, like you're ugly, you look like a bridge troll, like Rumpelstiltskin, like that sort of thing. I don't think anyone's ever said that. Please don't start saying it.
Please, that I'm is not really an invite to start commenting that. Please.
Good at riddles. Okay. But if I could not show my face or like anything about my physical appearance, I feel like that would cut all the insults in half. You couldn't call me ugly anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
Also,
you'd be like, your voice sounds stupid. Right. But that's.
And what are they going to say that to Corpse Husband? Your voice is so sexy and hot and turns me on. You're so dumb. No.
Yeah, god damn, he does have a really nice voice.
He does, and I'll admit that.
Have you ever watched his stuff?
I've listened to his music. I like his music.
Have you ever watched?
No.
He sings?
He's a spooky rapper. Just like,
oh, a spooky rapper, like Halloween rap?
Yep.
Does he rap about like goblins and like ghosts and ghouls?
He sings that song? No, he did. Choke me till you hate me when you love me. Low key, want to date me when you fuck me. That's him.
It's him?
Yeah.
Oh my God. I didn't know that. I thought when you said spooky rapper, he's in like a, you know, like a Peanuts costume rapping about like zombies.
Yeah, that's not going to be what I was talking about. But I get it.
No.
Yes. But yeah, like, and then what you were saying about, you know, when you remove the capability to insult someone based on their looks or their gender or their race or their voice or anything like that, which also I feel like as the internet, we're moving slowly away from that because we're giving that less power because it's just, it's been done. Uh-huh. We've heard it. It's the tried and true insult. You're fat, you're ugly, you're this, you're that. We're slowly dismantling all of this stuff of like, women don't owe you pretty. Fat phobia yeah. is a thing. Like Western beauty standards versus the rest of the fucking world's beauty standards. You know, like all of those things are slowly being brought to the surface and dismantled. And I think that it's a cool thing to watch and be party to. But at the same time, it's cool to be on the flip side of it. Like when people hurl those insults at you, it's like, that really doesn't like get to me the way that it did when I was in the sixth grade, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, it's crazy also, like, there's not as many comments. Maybe it's because, like, we don't have, like, a straight male audience, and I feel like that they're pretty ruthless with, like, hateful shit. But I think now that the comments that are mean are getting more creative, like, they're passive-aggressive sort of comments. Yeah. They're not like, you're ugly. It's just like, you're so brave.
Yeah.
You wear a size 10. That is so brave of you.
I would never have your confidence.
Yeah, I would love to shop online as much as you have to. that's the comments now. It's like, damn, dude. And then they're like, it's like framed as, you know, there is a girl who keeps asking me if I have PCOS. And having PCOS is not a bad thing, but she uses the side effects of, like, you know, facial hair and that sort of thing to, like, insult me.
Dude.
So she just like makes new accounts and she frames it as I care, you know, like I have PCOS and I just think that your face is so hairy.
Holy
and I'm like,
shit.
That is such a she like zooms in on any selfie I post with my mustache. This is why I hate people commenting on my mustache. But see, there's nothing wrong with having that, but
right.
like the insults at a certain point become more creative because it's not, you know, people will get called out if they comment like ugly on people's like Instagram post. Thank God we're not models, because the shit they say to models is absolutely deranged.
Well, and it's almost like it's deranged, but like, well, I don't want to say which one is worse because there's clearly one that's worse, but it's like, would you rather be praised for being brave just because of how you look, or would you rather be so hot and so attractive to literally everyone that it's just hate jealous comments of people like, she's too skinny, fuck you, you know? It's like both are bad, but one is just a little bit more hurtful. One cuts a little deeper than just being called a slut because you're skinny.
Ours is like, we're not even like, it's not even about our looks, but it's crazy that we're just like brave for existing.
Insane.
Dude, imagine going to anyone, like up to anyone, like on the subway or on a bus, and be like, I love what you're doing here. And then just like walk away, or like, hey, I see you.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
You're valid.
You wore that outside.
That is so awful.
Or like, you like look them up and down, you're like, this is camp. You're so brave. And then just walk away.
Me and Stanley talk about that all the time of like, if we were to be out somewhere and we would see someone dressed in like complete 2009, 2010, like shutter shades, neon striped, like suspenders, fingerless gloves, like seen hair, all that, like going up to them and being like, that's so camp. You're so post irony, postmodernism. Like, you're so smart. But that's just how they dress. Like, that's so insulting. Because to us, it's like, oh, that's
a
bit.
I would do that to literally. Yeah. That's like how I felt when I was driving through Delaware. I was like, dude, these people, I don't know if, okay, there is something very cool and like about having your own style. And if that happens to be shutter shades and scene hair, that's cool as shit. But sometimes but I think since that era of like dress is so recent, but it's not like Y2K. It's like, you don't know if this person is so far behind on trends or this is like them dressing very seriously.
Right.
They're in like the twilight zone of fashion. And that's what Delaware is. If you've ever driven through it.
That's so specific.
It is like New Jersey if New Jersey never got out of 2011.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I'm sorry, people from Delaware.
All the Delaware followers, you're doing the Lord's work or something.
All seven of them are taking off their shutter shades right now.
Just in shame, just crying.
Ring them.
So yes. This is Stanley's words. Well, there's a whole section of, you know, talking about like that the future of the internet is faceless. The sentiment of showing your face or not online stems from malice, jealousy, envy, distaste, all of the things we brought, racism, ageism, misogyny, whatever. And these are Stanley's words. Many content creators who were dumb enough to show their dumb, stupid, cringe faces get upset about faceless content creators because their baby brains didn't think to do it themselves. And now they can't go to Trader Joe's and cry with their whittle thumbs in their mouths. Is baby going to cry? Is baby going to piss their pants? Those are Stanley's words.
And Stanley really went in.
He did, and he's got a point.
Yeah, he does have a point. If you could be faceless, would you choose to be faceless?
Yeah.
If you could still make your... Yeah, you can make your comedy work.
Yes.
It's just voice memos of farts from the toilet.
Yeah, I would do a gender neutralizing voice modulator. I would never show my face, and I would have people draw fan art of what they think I look like. Bitch, fucking, that is a perfect opportunity to be a furry. I would literally just be a famous furry online. My face is my fucking fursuit.
Just buy a fursuit and start from ground zero. Don't even like ever link. Yeah, just be a furry online.
If you see me and make a fourth TikTok account, you mind your fucking business. It's my furry account.
That would actually be super, super funny. I just forgot what I was going to say. I think since your voice is like pretty like cool, I mean, you can like sing and do accents. I feel like it would be really, you could probably pull it off. Also, I'm thinking, I don't think people realize how gendered they speak, how gendered like we do speak. Because I mean, like you could alter your voice and make it like gender neutral. But at some point you're going to be like, my nips touch my knees. Yeah. And then people will be like, does this person have gynecomastia or is this a woman? And then you just got to throw them off your scent.
Yeah. Never. Hey, keep them guessing. My balls itch and my nipples touch my stomach. What about that? And my pubes grow down to my knees. And I haven't cut my toenails in 6 months.
You're making yourself sound too interesting looking that I would like really try to, I would try to find you just to see what it's like.
I've got to see what this person looks like. Yeah.
My butt teeth and thick arm hair. It's like, what do you look like?
Where do you live? Yeah, that's, what would yours be if you were anonymous?
I don't know. I think I'd just be like a gay man. I would just say very gay man phrases.
Yeah.
Because I can't pull it off naturally. If there was like a voice changer, I would just be the gayest man in the entire world. Hey, it'd be downright offensive, actually.
Slay. I would be a downright problem. You would have to remove me. Yes. Additionally, there is a question as to whether these faceless content creators don't show their face because they're insecure. But I would
like
say
Phantom of the Opera.
Right. They're hiding some hideous, like, mutilation. Scar. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or they just want to be anonymous. And I think that I would say by and large, that's more what it is protecting their own privacy. And then that becomes sort of like a spectacle in itself, you know, of like, well, why are they wearing a mask? Why haven't they shown their face? Why this? Why that? And then that becomes their identity is that, oh, they just accept it.
Yeah.
Marshmallow, Daft Punk, who the fuck else? You just accept it. You accept that these people don't have identities. Sure, you can Google it. Who is Daft Punk? It's two fucking Swedish dudes or whatever. But like that is so much less interesting than these two futuristic robotic DJ producer dudes that, you know, you can invent their backstory in your mind and all that. That is the fun.
Yes. It's kind of like Sia a little bit too, like with the hair. I feel like her face is always obscured.
Yeah.
Oh, I never thought about Daft Punk and them as well. Yeah, I wonder how that affects like in traditional media, because we're talking about social media. I assume they get treated the same as like voice actors, where you'd have to like talk to them to realize that they are famous or who they say they are.
Right. But there's a beauty in that. And I met Orville Peck. And I am going to talk about Orville Peck again. I think about that all the time because he has very recognizable tattoos, but no one knows really what his face looks like. So he could go out in public, take the fucking mask and cowboy hat off, and wear a long sleeve shirt, and no one would really know who he is. That is so crazy to be this like international famous musician who has like millions of adoring fans, and you can just like take your mask off and go outside and no one knows who you are. Oh my God.
When you hung out with him, did he take it off at all? Or he kept it on the entire time?
Yeah, he keeps it on the whole time. Like he even with his band, he doesn't really take it off.
Can you imagine, like, if he's at, like, a concert venue and he has, like, you know, life-altering shits? And so, you know, like, you take off all your clothes, but he's just in the mask and no clothes.
The fringe just tickling his naked knees while he's shitting in a public restroom.
Just a wipe and it touches his ball sack.
Oh, it dips in the toilet water. Oh, fuck me. Damn it.
And it's just, like, wet in the middle. It's just, like, wet fringe.
Orville, you smell like shit. It is shit. I dipped it in the toilet by accident.
It is kind of interesting that Stanley wrote, there's a question of whether faceless content creators don't show their face because they're self-conscious. And then you say, like, you thought they might be disfigured. I don't know whose mind would immediately be like, I think, I was going to say Chris Rock, like Orville Peck has a big scar across his forehead. Yeah. And that's why it's like,
yeah,
I think he just wants his anonymity protected.
Yeah. And I think that there is a beauty in that. And it's a strange thing that people just like, all of a sudden respect that. Like, why is it?
Yeah.
That is so strange that anonymous creators get more respect than like personalities online. That is so wild.
If I were to at any point say, please don't comment on my physical appearance, it's almost like people will be like compelled to.
Yes.
But Corpse is like, don't try to find out who I am. And like, suddenly the world has like a, you know, sworn,
guys,
like
guys,
taking an oath
hey,
of silence.
Leave him alone. He wants to be private. Also, he's a man, so that's different. People respect men more than women.
Yeah.
Period.
That is true. So there has been a rise of faceless content creators in the past 3 to 5 years. Faceless content creation has almost been washed down to a point where it's no longer even part of discussion. It's just part of the regular content creation. Mm-hmm. I know like Corpse was just like for the first 4 months or 6 months, he was just like, don't look up my face. It was just about like how he doesn't have a face. And now it's just like he can create content and people really aren't that curious. I mean, if they are curious, they're not as vocal about it anymore.
Right.
So now whether or not a creator decides to show their face is no longer a demanding topic, desire, or discussion among audience members. Although there may be an everlasting desire to dox popular faceless content creators by searching and finding their identity, the term use and group of faceless YouTubers has grown so large that it no longer acts as the defining factor of someone's content.
How wild is that?
Like when it docks them. I think it also is smart that he didn't use his real name.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you could look him up, you know, his high school yearbook or something like that.
Right. And that mm-hmm. also, removes that idea of, oh my God, I went to middle school with him. And he doesn't show his face. Here's what he looked like in fifth grade. It's like, no, you don't do that because they created a stage name. That's so smart. We should start
over. It's like his yearbook photo is just like, we should. We should swap identities. No, I think it's kind of funny. The idea of his yearbook photo is just his neck down. He's always been anonymous.
It's just blurred.
Yes. It's like from Home Improvement, that show where the neighbor doesn't have a face. It's just always Tim Allen talking over the fence and just like the top of his eye. That's just Corpse's entire life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what
and so
began...
then what began?
Jinx.
Sorry, do you want to read it? Jinx, you owe me a lifetime of happiness.
Jinx, you owe me health insurance.
I thought we were going to kiss.
Oh, sorry. You go. No, you go.
So what,
sorry.
What began as a convenient way for content creators to steal their identity, it may have sparked a new direction of where the future of content creation is heading. Audience members love being involved in the content they consume, like the rise of Twitch, and there's an untapped market of fictional characters of creators, like the rise of VTubers. And the audience members know these VTubers are actually real, but don't make the interaction with them. It doesn't make the interaction with them any less exciting. What I think is kind of interesting, though, is like, say if you have no face or people don't know your race, do you feel still like having a large platform? Do you feel compelled to like talk about issues that affect you? And would talking about those issues kind of give you away if like, you know, you're like, gay or like, yeah. So, I mean, I don't know if any of these faceless content creators have spoken up about certain issues. And if they have, I'd like to see how they skirt around, like, suggesting that they are a part of a community, or maybe they just, like, care for the community. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's an interesting thing to bring up, because I'm thinking about personally, like, what are some of the causes and beliefs that I really hold dear to my heart and, you know, like, really fully support? And it's things like, you know, Black Lives Matter or things like the LGBTQ plus community. It's like I'm in no way really personally affiliated, but it's something I deeply care about. And I deeply care about like trans rights and trans access to healthcare and all that stuff. And I vote for that stuff, but that doesn't affect me as a person. And so I think that it more speaks to their character, I guess, what they choose to promote or speak about, which is another way to secure loyalty, you know, like from your fans. It's like, oh, they give a shit, they care.
I would just assume that like if say like one of these people like faceless content creators, we do only have male examples, like say with like the Roe v. Wade stuff, like there was a female faceless, like, and she doesn't want to give away that she's a woman because being a woman online is a pain in the fucking dick.
Right.
So I don't like, would she just say that she doesn't support what's going on, or would she cut out the part where it's like, this would affect me, this is why I care, and that sort of thing. I think that's something interesting that I'd love to see, how faceless content creators deal with like deep social issues and just how they address it, and if they incorporate their own personal experiences at all.
It's a good question, and also maybe we're thinking about it too personally, because that's the whole point, is they're anonymous. Like, they are content creators, they're not public figures the way that you and I are, where because the audience has deemed you this, you should therefore use your platform to talk about this. They're anonymous. No one's casting those expectations onto them. You're a Twitch streamer. Fucking play a video game. You know what I mean? Like, why are the demands so much less? They're still real people the way that we're real people. It's a wild, actual, insane concept to talk about.
It really is, because most content creators or like public figures like us, there is an obligation to address certain social issues. Mm-hmm. And it's crazy that like there's not that pressure or that type of pressure on them as well. Because I mean, I obviously believe that women should have access to abortions, but I'm a fucking dipshit. Like, even if I spoke up on it, I wouldn't speak eloquently, you know, like I'd be like, my choice.
Right.
And that would be the extent of like what my brain could produce. So it's crazy that like even like we're absolute buffoons and we're expected to speak so eloquently on a lot of things. And these people who are faceless don't really have that pressure simply because like they're faceless.
Yeah. I think it goes back to just human beings are so cruel to each other. Like, always, at the end of the day. Like, when it comes down to internet culture and when we talk about hate online and sending hate online and trolling, it all comes down to we just fucking are so miserable. We have to take it out on each other.
Yeah.
And I think that Corpse Husband is not a fair target because you don't know that much about him, therefore you can't attack him. You know? You can only lust after
him. But
I wonder if he gets tired of being like overly sexualized. Do you think?
Yeah. Oh, just your voice is so sexy. That is crazy that your voice is like so fucking hot that millions of people are like, I want to follow you.
That's wild.
There is not one single thing about me that is so insanely hot. Like, I literally asked the person I was talking to, what is the sexiest part about me? And they said my eyes. And I said, that's when you know that there's nothing good about you. Is your when they say your eyes. Yeah, like, you have the best eyes. Everyone has eyes. What's special about me?
Yeah. Oh, that's such a slap in the face. What's the hottest part about me? Your sense of humor. You might as well just call me Fuggo, bitch.
Please compliment, like, say, like, my legs or my arms or something.
Give me something. Something to, like, work with.
Or, like, when someone's like, I really like your smell. It's like, that is something that I put on me. That is not even me.
Yeah.
Please compliment me.
You don't want to smell smell. You are, I promise you.
Don't
want to
smell me. You don't want to smell me when I'm angry.
You don't want to smell my pheromones. It smells like onions.
You want to know how I got this smell?
I didn't bathe.
So then, so did you know that why your siblings don't smell like good to you is to prevent inbreeding? Like, that's why, like, you like other people's pheromones, but you don't like your siblings because you're not supposed to be attracted to them to, like, prevent inbreeding.
You know, I feel like I'm a little ahead of the curve on that because I'm not up in my siblings' armpits just sniffing around. You know what I mean? I'm a little ahead of the curve there.
And my sister's not my type, so it doesn't even matter how she smells.
Right. And that's valid.
Dude, I have this horrible joke that I'm at. Wait, I have a horrible joke I'm going to tell everyone now. So my brother is adopted. He is my second cousin in real life. And I always tell people, you know, we could have children. And I tell people I would never do that, though, because I'm a lesbian. And everyone...
Like, that's the only reason.
Everyone's like, that's your only hang-up? And I'm like, no, that's the joke. And Jake has asked me to stop telling that joke. So that's and the last time I'm saying it.
Yep. And the request has been denied.
Keep it in the podcast. He'll just yell at me later.
Hey, we don't listen to men's opinions anyway.
No, we don't. He's a straight man. So the YouTube platform, do you want to talk about that in relation to faceless content?
Yeah, I mean, YouTube has achieved ubiquity as the de facto video platform for amateur content just in general. And its maturation as a platform can be seen through a collection of social norms, audience expectations, and politics, all of which weave themselves into the techno-social fabric of digital life. That's a beautiful sentence. As such, certain practices...
Techno-social?
Techno-social fabric of digital life. Wow.
That's beautiful, Stanley.
As such, certain practices... Oh, he copy and pasted this shit. Don't give him credit. As such, certain practices that regulate the flow of information have become normalized across a certain subset of YouTube channels. And so that being said, well, we know that a lot of this content lives on YouTube. Like, the ability to really get to know a content creator has to come from YouTube. Twitter, surface level. TikTok, surface level. YouTube, you get in the nitty gritty of who these people are, even if they're anonymous. You learn a lot about them.
I do have an example of someone on Twitter who's done anonymous pretty well. It's Drill. If any of you know Drill from Twitter, he's like, he made like Twitter comedy popular. No one's seen his face, but he's consistently been churning out 10 years on Twitter, and he's just a faceless content creator. And I would say that that's probably the one Twitter example. Like, actually, it's very easy to be anonymous on Twitter as like a content creator. I wouldn't say that people know you, and they probably don't follow you as much, because I had a friend who did like just Twitter jokes, and he's like, I really want to grow my platform. What should I do? And I was like, you got to post your face. Yeah. You have to, like, people have to put a voice to a face, because then you just become an avatar that's churning out jokes, and you're not really like seen as an individual.
Yeah, we're in this wave of content creation online that is so heavy in relatability and being real and this, that, and the other. And we've talked about this before. It's why you and I have careers almost, you know, I mean, we're very funny people, but the relatability factor, the realness that we bring to the comedy and being transparent about things that are going on in our lives, people really appreciate that, because I mean, who were the creators of the past?
Yeah.
I mean, the Jake Paulers of YouTube, where it's just like the David Dobriks, you know, these insane, larger than life personalities that are doing parties and tricks and pranks and gags that are so out of this world, to the point where it's not even like, it's like, what the fuck am I watching, Jackass? It's not like, it's this return back to, I want to see people at their simplest just living. Mm-hmm. It's why lifestyle YouTubers have like, careers.
It's like how, if you'll notice, like, there are certain YouTube channels that do film in like a professional studio, but it's almost like you like the people where it's like clunky a little bit more. Like, you like when there's like, you know, you can see like their laundry in the back, or, you know, it's not great lighting, or, you know, a car goes by. It just, because it makes them seem imperfect and human. And there's something, I feel like there's less and less YouTube channels where there's actual professional, like, studio setups. It's just because it's not as interesting to watch.
It's really not. And the market was so oversaturated. And I think COVID really changed it, because during COVID, we really saw the wealth gap. We saw the wealth gap in its most ugly form. And so now seeing these massive displays of wealth and the all white kitchens that you're making your little appetizers in, it's like, no one fucking cares. And also, I resent you for having that while, you know, like, my dad lost his job and this, that, and the other. It's like, that really changed things. And so in this post-COVID world, seeing that relatability of like, I now have this mental illness, I was diagnosed with this. Like, I struggle with this. That is almost, it is a comfort. And so we can't get mad at people when they're like, you're my only. It's like, I get how in your reality, that's probably true to you.
I know people definitely, like, on our YouTube channel, like, I don't know why this, everyone on our YouTube channel seems to be going through it. Like, there will be like people like, I'm sick, or I got hit by a car, and I got hit by a car and I'm sick. And it's like, this is the only thing that got me through this week. And I'm like, dude, it's crazy how, like, we are absolute buffoons, but it makes people happy. You know, I know that, like, at the core of this, we're not saying anything super profound, and we're not actually, we're just making jokes. And that's enough to, like, cause someone's, like, suffering for, like, an hour. And you know,
what,
and then
what a special superpower that is, especially during the pandemic. Like, I really try to zoom out sometimes, and, you know, like, when it gets overwhelming, or when it's like, I don't think I'm funny, I'm like, imposter syndrome sets in. It's like, that doesn't fucking matter, because what you think about yourself doesn't matter. It's what you're doing that helps, you know, the people watching. And I think that returning to that concept is really helpful sometimes, especially for this podcast. I mean, it's just, we're talking about usually cum, poop, sometimes piss.
Like cum farts.
Assholes. Cum farts, blood farts, burping chunks. I think that
you ever
really
had
helps
a cum fart?
You ever had you ever cum farted?
I haven't cum farted in years. Oh, that's so crazy.
Yeah, you bring it up.
it just sloughs right out of you. Okay, that's really crazy. I haven't had a cum fart in years.
I coughed last night in my bed, pissed. I'm like a pregnant woman. I had to wash my sheets. I don't know what it is.
You have to put a towel down. Dude, I've been sleeping on towels the past couple nights because I sweat so heavily in my sleep. Oh my God, I was hooking up with someone and they woke me up the next morning and they told me that I snore and I talk in my sleep.
That's
you. I didn't know that I snore. I know. I was like, wait, no. Do you know how many people I've had sex with recently that they slept over? I snored in front of all those people, and they said when I talk in my sleep, it's just so angry. And I'm like, I'm not angry. That's so crazy to think about. It's like how, you know, when someone takes a picture of you from the side and then you see your side profile, it's like I'm seeing my side profile for the first time. I'm realizing, like, I fart and
I fart
talk
too.
And snore.
I'm just like you. This whole time I thought you've just, like, had people in your room. It's just you talking to yourself.
Just me talking in the middle of the night to myself.
She's yelling.
Help, I filled up your furry suit. You thought I was screaming for help?
I was like, They're just having fun.
Yeah. Sarah's got a girl over. I'm just screaming for help.
They're just having a little sleepover. Oh, God! It burns! It burns!
Those lesbians, I don't know what they're doing in there.
Crazy folks. All right, I want to talk about the history of faceless content. Because it is interesting. Still very interesting.
It is.
So anonymity has been explored since the internet granted such communicative affordances. It has a strong correlation with the online disinhibition effect, which is a phenomenon in which users more readily volunteer information more boldly than they would in a face-to-face situation. Duh. Keyboard warriors.
I need to read that sentence again because there were so many big words.
Yeah, it was a good one.
Anonymity has been explored since the internet granted such communicative affordances. It has a strong correlation with the online a phenomenon in which users more readily volunteer information more boldly. Yeah, dude, when I'm on Instagram Live, I tell people shit I shouldn't. But
you,
it's only
you
because
post Instagram stories sometimes, and I'm like, I can't believe she posted that. It's just so, yeah, it's just so raw and personal. But I think that that's both of our brands. So, like, it just shocks me only because it's like, I don't see anyone else posting that level of vulnerability.
Dude, maybe I'm just not self-aware and I gotta like really work on, like, just because I'm doing it doesn't mean that I'm in good, like, it's a good thing. Maybe I should cut back. Cause like
maybe
sometimes it's kind of crazy. Like, yeah, like I'll talk about like, you know, an issue that's deeply personal to me. And then in the next one, I'm checking for moles on my back.
Yeah.
So I gotta really learn how to use private stories.
you really probably should.
You know what, man? I'm gonna look inwards today because I posted some really horny stuff on Instagram just now. Yeah. I'm really regretting it.
It's either the waves of your content on via Instagram stories specifically are you're so horny you're about to combust. You're reparenting yourself. You're having anxiety about something coming up. It's any of those three in very various forms. But all of those things are incredibly relatable things. So you may think you're oversharing, which probably you are, but also, like, I'm sure you get floods of DMs that are like, I'm going through the same thing. I do it too.
Yeah. Everyone's like, I'm horny, anxious, and deeply traumatized. And that's the majority of my comments.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. That's why people don't hit on me. Because they always think that I'm going through some sort of like emotional state.
Well, are you?
Yeah. I'm like, my parents abandoned me. And then people, why would people respond to that with, at least you're hot? Like, yeah.
Would you like to come suck me?
Would you feel less lonely if I was there right now?
What would you do if I was there? You're like, be horny. Fix it.
Yeah. Actually, I don't even know if I could hook up with someone from who like slid into my DMs. I feel like that'd be too uncomfortable.
Yeah. I've never done that.
Yeah.
But also,
you don't hook up with people.
I don't hook up with people because it makes me feel sad and empty.
Yeah, I can imagine that is crazy. My slutty period as a lesbian is a lot more fulfilling because even if I don't text the person back, like I feel like respected as a human being. I was also a slut when I was straight. And that, I'm not saying it was bad. It just was, I felt like I was used a lot of the time.
That's what it is. I don't want to be a fucking fleshlight. Go buy a fleshlight. You know? I have feelings.
That is true.
Well, anyway, moving on. So furthermore, this anonymity?
Yes.
Anonymity? Or this invisibility has been shown to interact with anonymity to encourage the online disinhibition effect. What are we talking about, dude?
I don't know. This is like taking the SAT, which I didn't finish.
Yeah, I can't finish that sentence. I just forgot where I was for a second. That's a lot of big words.
Yep. Furthermore, this invisibility has shown to interact with anonymity to encourage the online disinhibition effect, both in toxic and pro-social instances. Why did he think that we would understand this?
You got way too much faith in us, Stanley.
I don't know how long it takes for Pluto to circle the sun, and he's making me read this sentence.
Does anyone? We have already established we have a very, very minimal, if not subpar, understanding of the solar system, American politics, the government.
What medications I should be taking?
Hey, health insurance, medicine. I have no idea how nutrition works. What the fuck is a macronutrient?
What are probiotics? Also, I've literally, my car registration is so expired. It is the color of next year's registration. So like, it's so expired that it looks like I'm ahead of the game. I don't know how, like whenever I go to the DMV, it's always something new. Like I have like the wrong forms, or I should have requested this like a month ago. I just don't understand the DMV to a point where I don't even drive.
Yeah. And it is concerning, and I'll admit that.
And I've never returned an item of clothing because I don't know how mail works.
I don't know what the difference between USPS, FedEx, and UPS is. Why do you go to each one?
Yeah, I literally, like, there is a post office box across the street from us, but I don't know if I can put anything in it.
And what the fuck is a stamp? Why do you need a stamp?
Yeah. And how many stamps do I need?
And why are they expensive? Why does the cost of a stamp correlate with anything going on in the government? I don't fucking get it.
Why can't I read Brittany's mail? We live at the same house.
Why is that a felony? When I steal your Amazon boxes, why do you beat me up? We'll never know. One time at the last apartment, we had like just moved in together. And I got a notification that I had a package. I didn't realize it was for the apartment, not just for me. And I went downstairs and I got it out of the Amazon thing and I brought it back up and I opened it and it was a foot peel mask. And I was like, who the fuck sent this to me? Who's being rude? And then I read the thing and it said Sarah showered. I said, oh, Sarah ordered this, and I opened her fucking mail. And then I remember putting it on the table. Yeah, I did it multiple times. And I was like, that's for you. I just wanted to open it. I just love opening boxes.
At least it wasn't like when I ordered my taser and I got like that's the most tame thing that you could probably open that I ordered. Yeah. So it's for the best. Yeah.
Purple dildo, taser, foot peel, and what? Mac and cheese? I don't know.
Toenail clippers.
Mac and cheese. Hey guys, we're going to be doing an unboxing of my roommate's mail. I would be opening my roommate's tax documents.
You're just reading it like, someone's not on their parents' health insurance anymore. You pulled it.
Someone's in the red.
You try like my makeup on and then you put it back in the package.
That's not my color. Hopefully it's Sarah's.
So then going back to anonymity in that long ass sentence, while anonymity deals with the completely unidentifiable invisibility, which includes preventing access to gender, weight, age, occupation, ethnic origin, and residential location, proves a key concept since faceless YouTubers generate a bond with their audience through this selective discourse. Dude, if someone could not comment on my gender, my weight, or my age, that would be like the trifecta.
That's what it is a selective disclosure. We disclose everything. Yeah.
So some faceless content creators can lose their anonymity. So anonymous influencers may well hold a fear that once their face is out there, some of the magic is gone. Mm. You know, if we do find out that Corpse is Michael Cera with a voice filter, I actually would be like really disappointed.
I would cheer and laugh and giggle.
Yeah. Corpse himself has said he will never live up to the expectations his fans have set for him. Wait, that also would suck. It's like people have created this vision of what he looks like in their head. And what if he's too hot?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That would be, you know, like the masked singer or something like that. Like, what if That would actually hurt my fucking soul if I, you know, did what Corpse did and I was just a funny person and then I showed my face and everyone's like, oh.
Yeah.
Ugh.
And you know,
that would break my fucking heart.
Like, as a woman, you lose either way. You're either really yeah. funny, you show your face and you're ugly and it's like, oh, makes sense. Or you're really funny,
yeah.
you show your face and you're hot and it's like, oh, fuck this slutty bitch. Because people hate yeah. beautiful women. If you're a man, yeah. it's a win-win. If you're an ugly, funny dude, mm-hmm. you're going to get a girlfriend. If you're a funny, hot dude, you're going to get a girlfriend. It's like...
Yeah. When do I? Lose. When do I get the girlfriend?
When does Sarah Shower get the girlfriend? Guys, please, hit her a line.
So Corpse himself has said he'll never live up to the... Oh, that's so sad, which partly contributes to his decision not to do a face reveal. But in all likelihood, anonymity is just one part of what makes Corpse Corpse. Yeah. And then what makes Dream Dream. And Dream is a huge YouTuber with like 29 million subscribers. You don't know what he looks like or they look like. And then judging by the love of their fans and their commitment to what they do, their real faces should never be shown mm-hmm. and are probably far less important than they believe. I also know, like, it's crazy. I follow a couple people who are like sex workers who have children. And a lot of people, we're going to talk about like family, like vloggers and like the future, but to protect their children's anonymity, they never include their child's face,
yeah.
which is really interesting as well. And I don't think that they're going to show their child's face until that child can say out loud that they'd like to be on the internet.
Right.
And I think that that's a really cool way to do like faceless content because they still are in their content, but they're not being shown.
Yeah. Yeah. I was talking yeah. to, Ethan Klein about this when I went on the H3 podcast and I was like, you've got kids. Have you and Ela talked about, you know, are you going to put them on camera? And he was like, no. And he'll like yeah. sometimes, like if it's a funny TikTok or whatever, like if it's a facial filter or something, he'll do that. But it's not like that level of family vlogging where it's like, it's McKinley Breeley's 7th birthday. What are we doing today? And it's like all, yeah. you know, like so clearly set up and cringe and like perform or like when the kids are crying and they're like, oh, they're crying. And it's like they put the camera in yeah. their fucking face. It's like, it's not that. That is, I can't wait for that episode. We're going to go in.
Yeah, I guarantee there's in like 5 to 10 years, there's going to be laws where like children can sue. And I feel like a bunch of like family video channels,
oh, yeah.
they're just, yeah, they document their child's lowest, but this is another topic for another day. But there are examples of faceless content creators. We have been talking about Corpse pretty heavily, but then I was thinking Drill is my faceless Twitter content creator, which
yeah.
is actually pretty impressive to be a content creator just on Twitter exclusively.
Yeah.
Probably the poorest content creator there is.
Definitely. Twitter comedians is it's a thankless job.
Yes. People Fair. Steal your shit and then they put it in a TikTok video
yep.
where people just point to the screenshot.
Twitter comedians have very minimal ROI, return on investment.
And it's so like it's so sad how you have to advertise. Like you'll have a tweet blow up and then you'll respond to that tweet with like, does anyone want to buy a vibrator? Use my code,
yeah.
you know, Sarah for 20% off your, it's like, dude, that's such a sad way to advertise.
It really is. If you like this one, you're going to love the next vibrator that my friends at da-da-da are selling. Go check them out. That's so, it really is pitiful because you're limited on Twitter. At least on TikTok, you can be creative,
yeah.
da-da-da, a YouTube integration. You can be creative, have fun with it. Twitter, you have what, 280 characters? Get it out. You're done.
Yeah.
And you have to post the link. Sucks.
Yes. It's humiliating.
Another one I want to briefly mention, which a lot of people might know, is Dream. He's a Minecraft YouTuber. He kind of like revolutionized mm-hmm. Minecraft content. He was one of the fastest growing YouTube channels of all time. 9 million subscribers in 9 months.
Oh my God. He must be really good at Minecraft.
He's like the best at Minecraft. Stanley included some little comments. He goes so hard. I'll never forget his boat play. He's legendary. He also has this like SMP server and other Minecraft stuff. You guys wouldn't understand. SMH is what Stanley said. And you're right.
Dude, imagine being so funny that 9 million people follow you in 9 months.
Without showing your face?
Yeah. Imagine, dude, he must be really fucking good at Minecraft.
Yeah, dude.
I actually don't understand.
We need to get really good at something like that. I'm going to get really good at Rock Band. I am really good at Rock Band. Yeah. I'm just going to start uploading it.
Yeah, do that. I'm pivoting to Legos. I'm getting really good at Legos.
We're re-strategizing, team.
But I don't think I'll ever be as big as Dream with Legos. It'd be like Cream. Now, you know what? I'm going to stop right there.
On that note, I think we pretty much covered all the bases, right?
We did. I am jealous, but I understand that they have their own individual issues as well.
Sure.
And I can't even imagine like the pressure to like reveal your face. And if you do, like, would you let people down? That would be really, really upsetting.
You know what else we didn't even really talk about is like the sort of cognitive dissonance of playing a character, this anonymous character online, and then having your real personal life. To us, that sounds nice. You know, like,
yeah.
I always equate it back to drag. You know, like you can wipe the makeup off, take the wig off. That is a character that it's you, but you put that on. Or rather, it comes out when you put that, you know, costume on. For us, there is no delineation. Which one is worse and which one is better?
Yeah.
I think that there isn't an answer.
Yeah, I don't think so either. It's crazy to think about like how drag really just transformed. Like even if like right now I'm not wearing makeup, but when I put makeup on, I feel like a completely different person.
Me too.
I can only imagine like how drag would just take you to like the next level.
I think it's
impossible to like decide which one has it worse. I mean, there are definitely like pros and cons to either.
Yeah.
It's just,
We've talked to Trixie about it because Trixie films videos for her YouTube channel both in and out of drag. Like, people know her out of drag as Brian. She's open about that. But at the same time, she's very, very honest and forthcoming because she's a comedian first and foremost, and she's very, you know, observant and tells it like it is, that Trixie is not a real person. Like, Trixie Mattel is not real. Corpse Husband is not real. You know, like, these are made up fictional online characters that people play. Well, Trixie's not only online, but you know what I mean? It's something that she created and it's an extension of herself. When people try to cancel or attack or can you speak up about this? No, my character can't. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's people are delusional. We are delusional online. And I feel like we need to kind of come back to ground zero and like really remember what it is we're doing here. We're just entertaining each other.
Yeah. We need to reel it in.
Yeah.
I think since like everyone's integration into like social media was different, like eventually, like in the future, like 40 years from now, when everyone will have always existed with social media.
Oh my God.
Besides people who are like 80. I think that there's going to be like, people are going to be more understanding, and there's going to be like actual like rules that people abide by and like how to talk to people and like how you should establish like expectations.
Yeah.
I think that's coming around.
That's a great point. Yeah. We really are in like the revolutionary period of the internet. It's the Wild West. I always say that people don't fucking know what we're doing online. And it's the worst of the worst.
There's going to be so many. Yeah. I mean, you think about like how it's changed over like the years. YouTube comments used to be absolutely foul, like rancid, and that's changed. And I feel like that's going to change on every single platform. Yeah. I mean, like, it's just a matter of time as, you know, people even assholes will eventually understand like formalities about the internet and what you should and shouldn't say. Because I mean, you think about people don't post offensive things anymore. Because they know that they could not get into college.
Right.
So like even normal people are like abiding by content creators' rules now because that will affect your real life.
Wow.
So
crazy times. You kids are so crazy. What we're doing online, it's just real, real wild out there. I think everybody should just be safe and you know, God bless you and we thank you a lot for joining and we love you guys. Be sure to like and subscribe. Turn the notification bell on.
I love you as an individual. If you're listening to this, I'm speaking only to you.
Only to you. And you know
it's
who you are.
You and I. You know exactly who you are and what we've done and where we've been.
Exactly. What we've been through together.
And you know that if your car ever... Yeah. We've known each other for years now, and I am your best friend. All right, guys. Well, we are not best friends, but we are friends through the internet. Please not be creepy. All right. Thanks for listening, guys.
This has been the COVID episode of Violating Community Guidelines. Thanks for hanging with us and bearing with us. Next week, we'll be better.
It will be. We promise. All right. Bye, guys.